On this Wednesday, let's turn our attention to the weather forecast. Drew Lerner is here. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hey, good afternoon to you, Drew. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, a beautiful day here in Kansas City. We've got just deep, dark blue sky. The humidity's down. It's a wonderful relief, let me tell you.
Well, I'm hoping that that'll come our way, though I believe it might come with some cooler temperatures. It is September, so maybe we should talk about frost, though I'm not sure that's really something that's that big a deal yet.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's September already, but indeed it is. And boy, just like snapping your fingers, suddenly the weather is changing in Canada, and it won't be long. In fact, just next week before we'll start seeing a risk of frost in the northern plains and the upper Midwest, maybe. In Canada, we'll start off with a little frost in Alberta. This is going to occur on Sunday morning. On Monday morning, we'll shift that frosty environment to northeastern Saskatchewan and northern Manitoba. And it's not a big deal in either of those areas quite yet. But as we go into Tuesday morning, we're going to send a high pressure center down over Montana. And it is going to bring some of that cool air down into the states. And we'll look for some frosty conditions to occur Tuesday morning from Montana into Saskatchewan and Manitoba, as well as western North Dakota. And I think we're going to have a little cloud cover and some wind blowing through eastern North Dakota, so that should keep the temperatures up there. But we will see some frost, and it wouldn't surprise me to see a couple of extreme lows getting down to 29 or 30 degrees in Montana and western North Dakota. And as we go into Wednesday of next week, this high pressure system keeps on going southward, and it's going to be over western Nebraska on Wednesday morning. And we're going to see some frost in western and central Nebraska and northeast Colorado. We may also see some frost and a few light freezes in the eastern parts of the Dakotas and northwestern Minnesota. These areas will probably, again, get down to, certainly down to 30 degrees. I think we will have a couple of colder locations that might get to 29, but I don't think we'll get much colder than that. A little farther to the east, again, the wind's going to blow a little too much. So Iowa and southern portions of Minnesota probably will stay in the middle and upper 30s to lower 40s and not have a risk of any frost on that morning. The coolness will moderate quite a bit as we go into Thursday of next week, and it will go ahead and move deeper into the Midwest, and we'll keep an eye on that, but it's too far out right now to really be able to say too much at that point.
Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, rainfall anytime in the near future. Again, there was a little bit yesterday in my part of the world, but, and I think in some other places more, but sure could use some additional rainfall.
Yeah, and this cold surge that's coming in will set the stage for a deepening low-pressure system in the central parts of the Midwest and help to drag a little bit of moisture through the region. That low-pressure system will there'll be a weaker system that'll precede it. That'll occur early or late in the weekend, I guess, across the upper Midwest and the Great Lakes region. But as we go into Monday and Tuesday of next week, we'll set the stage for a new low-pressure center to form somewhere over northern Missouri and possibly neighboring areas of Illinois and Iowa. And that should help to start to stimulate a little moisture. And we should get some rain to fall in all of that region and everybody to the east and south as we go from Tuesday into early Wednesday morning, just ahead of that colder air. Now, I think the cold may be a little overdone. It's certainly in the pure model data, it's overdone. What I told you was pretty much my expectation. But the models are just kind of going a little crazy with some of the rainfall today because the models are a little colder with the air mass. So they're suggesting some 1/2 to 1.5 inch rains with local 2 to 4 inch amounts in northern Illinois into southwestern Michigan. But I'd be real cautious of that. I don't think we're going to see that much rain, but we'll still get further relief that you were looking for.
Turn your attention to other parts of the world. Two typhoons near where? Korea? The peninsula there?
That's right. Big storms, too. These aren't weak little things. It was a Category 4 yesterday approaching South Korea. That storm is moving inland right now, and it is quickly weakening. I think it was a Category 2 a couple of hours ago. It'll be a Category two, well, maybe one and a half, let's say, when it finally reaches the South Korea coast, it will go straight northward through both South and North Korea and up into China eventually. And this storm is going to be followed by a second typhoon that will come into the very same areas during the early part of next week. So by this time next week, Wednesday, we are probably going to be looking at rain totals of 5 to 15 inches in South Korea and parts of North Korea, and anywhere from 6 to 12 inches across some of the areas in China. Now, you've got to, what you really need to know here is that the ground's already too wet in China and North Korea. Both areas have saturated soil all the way down deep into the ground. So all this rain is going to be runoff, and that means farmland is going to be flooded for a little while, and it is harvest time for soybeans and corn up in some of these areas. So this is kind of a big deal. And South Korea is only slightly drier, and with this first storm going through there now, they will be too wet after this. Now, I know that we don't care too much about the some of that cropland there in the Korean Peninsula, at least from a big market perspective, but they do have a lot of rice that they produce in both North and South Korea, and both those crops are going to be vulnerable to more losses. They've already had some loss because of flooding earlier this summer.
And is the Chinese rainfall in the northeastern in the corn-growing regions or in the regions that have already been really, really wet and flooded earlier in the year?
Yeah, actually, no. This is prime corn and soybean country. About half of the crop comes from this area that's going to be impacted. They've been struggling with too much moisture here for the past few weeks. Nothing like the rest of China with all that serious flooding we talked about. But it's been progressively getting wetter. And now we're going to add all this extra moisture in there at harvest time. You know, it's not a very good picture. And there will be new flooding up that way. Now, it's not going to be as damaging as the floods that we had in other parts of China earlier in the year. But it's still going to be an issue for some of their corn and soybeans.
Yeah, and just a quick assessment of that crop. I believe that it's actually in or was in pretty good condition, right?
Yes, very good shape, actually, prior to mid-August. And then we had a little bit of an issue. The corn crop should be fairly good. There shouldn't be any issues with that. But the soybeans have been hit with a lot of rain in the last few weeks. So like the U.S., but for different reasons, there's probably a bit of a decline in crop conditions underway.
Move into the southern hemisphere from there. Australia, any problems to date?
You know, Australia, they produce wheat, barley, and canola during this time of the year, and they're coming out of the winter and going into spring. And usually the first couple of weeks in September is when the winter wheat and barley in Queensland usually starts to reproduce. Now, Queensland is not the biggest contributor to their winter crops by any means. It's actually a pretty minor production area. About 6 or 7% of the crop maybe comes from there. But Queensland normally reproduces now, and last week they were experiencing frost and freezes, which probably damaged the crop a little bit, and it's still not raining in Queensland. It's been very dry for a long period of time, and it doesn't look like it's going to rain through the first half of September. So that part of their crop is now for sure trouble. There's some other areas in Australia that are also drying out. Northern parts of Western Australia, a much more important production area, getting a little too dry. They are not critically dry, and they could still benefit tremendously by some timely rain a little bit later this month. So not a big deal there. And then South Australia is another small wheat and barley and canola producing area. Not all that important either, but it too is very dry away from the coast. So Australia is probably a place we probably want to keep a close eye on as we go forward through these next few weeks, just to make sure they don't stay dry.
Hey, thanks so much.
Have a great day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.